You are Locked On Ravens, your daily podcast on the Baltimore Ravens, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Locked On Ravens podcast. Lamar Jackson has now won four of his first five starts in the NFL. But real quick, before we start things off, I want to talk to you guys about our sponsor today, MyBookie. You know, ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking me for advice. Usually it's what team to bet on this week. The truth is, I don't know who's going to win, but if you think you know, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie. Trust me, guys, they're your best bet this season. They've been in business for years, they have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. I would only recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me. That's why I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game, live betting, over-unders on fantasy points scored, and the most rewarding player perks in the business. MyBookie is slammed with new bettors and wants to give everyone the best service possible, so if you're willing to deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern Time, they'll give you an additional $25 free play on deposits over $100. So join now, and MyBookie will match that deposit dollar for dollar, so use that promo code LOCKEDON25 to activate the offer. Again, visit them again online today. That's MyBookie, MyBookie, and don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON25 when creating your account to claim up to $1,000 in free play. It's up to you guys, but I'd wait until after dinner and take the extra money. You play, you win, you get paid. Welcome to the Locked On Ravens podcast. I am Jacob Troxell. And as many of you know, Matthew Stevens had to step away from the show, but make sure you are still following him on Twitter at MatthewS_NFL, and follow myself at Trox3 on Twitter. And I am back now after being out of town and had to take care of some other things as well, but the good news is we are back, and we have plenty of great football this past week and more to come. Now, as the Baltimore Ravens are 8-6, and they hold the sixth seed, and that final playoff spot in the AFC with 2 weeks left in the regular season. Baltimore with a 20-12 win Sunday afternoon in Baltimore against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who fall to 5-9 and out of playoff contention. They are now 1-6 on the road this season. Baltimore improves to 5-2 at home. And plenty of takeaways from this game for me, and especially, you know, obviously every week now that Lamar Jackson being named the starter over Joe Flacco is the situation that we are in, it is certainly the number one thing to examine every week is the play of Lamar Jackson and how he is faring. And, you know, granted, Tampa Bay, not a fantastic team, as we already mentioned, 5-9 now on the season. So they're not a playoff team, but certainly you could see the reason in this game why Baltimore wants Lamar Jackson in at the quarterback position, and it's because he changes this entire offense, the outlook, how it runs, what defenses have to do to adjust. You know, there are so many things that defenses now have to worry about. Now, you know, as we've said before, you know, I think Baltimore's commitment to the run early in the season with Flacco in maybe could have been a little bit more balanced. It would have been really interesting to see what this offense would have looked like if there was a little bit more of that, but I got to give it to the coaching staff here. You know, it looked like they were in a very tough spot at 4-5 early in the season, you know, lost three straight going into that bye week. Now they come out, they beat the Bengals in a must-win game, and now they're, you know, even though they lost to the Chiefs, it was a close game, and now they're sitting here 8-6. They still hold that sixth seed and are in control of their own destiny. The Chargers at 11-3 are that fifth seed. So right now, Baltimore at 8-6, it looks like they're either going to get that third or fourth seed by winning the division, Pittsburgh at 8-5-1, or they're going to have to get that last wild card spot. So with them obviously not being able to catch the Chargers, three wins behind them with two games left in the season. So we'll go over a few playoff scenarios later on in the show. And you know, I want to get the negative out of the way, I guess. I think the one thing that we can kind of say we're still waiting to see from Lamar Jackson is a game where, you know, he fully opens up the arsenal and the passing game is something that they really need to dive into. I think we need to still see some, you know, sideline throws, deeper throws, touch passes. You know, we've seen a lot of the quick releases. He's been great over the middle, utilizing his tight ends, which is another thing that stood out to me today, along with the running back usage. But that is certainly, you know, something we're still kind of waiting for. And I think, you know, that'll come with time. It seems like Lamar has really improved, you know, from week to week here, and completed 60% of his passes in this game. That was not something he did in the previous three games. That first game against Cincinnati, he only threw it 19 times, almost completed 70% of his passes, but not a lot of throws there. He's thrown at least 20 passes in each of the last four games now. So, you know, we're seeing him slowly but surely kind of take steps towards being that downfield quarterback. Now, there was a terrible pass he threw over the middle that was seemingly right at a Buccaneers linebacker, and that surely should have been intercepted, and fortunately for Lamar on that play, the weather looked like it might have helped out in the drop of that pass. But, you know, later on, Lamar ended up fumbling a snap, and that looked like that was caused by the rain as well, so kind of evened out, I guess. But I think the biggest takeaway for me, again, in this game is the play from Lamar Jackson. But this is now the third straight game he has not thrown an interception. Although that one pass was not great, he still seems to be getting you know, better ideas of where to quickly get rid of the ball, and he's using his tight ends very well in that regard. You know, the scheme with those tight ends and the running backs are being used properly. You know, again, I got to give it to the coaching staff here. They have fought back from that hole, and they've put players in position to succeed. And ultimately, that's all you ever really want to see from a coaching staff. That and player development, those are the two biggest things, and those kind of go hand in hand. You want to see these guys put in a position to win, and you're certainly seeing that. And, you know, there's a variety of formations. You have tight ends moving across formations. You know, you even have, I believe it was Willie Snead moving in motion to block and pull along with a tight end and a guard. So, you know, there are all kinds, and that ended up being a good run. So there are all kinds of examples of, you know, how guys are being used, and we'll get into those, you know, a little bit as the week goes on. But there are plenty of instances too where, you know, going back to Lamar being the guy that is changing this offense. I mean, this is now essentially, you know, his kind of system where they're running different plays through him. There was a play early in the game, a 3rd and 3, and this is why it's so important for this offense to get in those 3rd and 3 type situations where on the read option you could see where all three linebackers in the game had their eyes in the backfield, and the play fake moving to the right side of the formation absorbed not only the whole defensive line, but all three of those linebackers. And that is exactly what you want to see from this type of offense, because that opens up the field. Lamar has an easy throw to his left across the other way, where everyone had moved and left an empty space. So that was just a perfect example of what you want to see from this offense, where you have guys moving in different directions. And certainly the tight ends, Hayden Hurst and Mark Andrews, have helped out this team. There are a lot of rookies contributing to this team, a lot of young players just in general contributing, which is another encouraging sign for Baltimore fans that, you know, even if you do end up making the playoffs this year, you obviously want to see those young players coming up. You know, we were maybe looking at 4-5, maybe 4-6 earlier in the season. Like, is this a rebuild kind of scenario? And are we just going to have to hope these young players start to develop? Now you're seeing them perform in games that are really mattering. And that's obviously far more encouraging than having to play them later in the season, just, you know, kind of out of contention. So certainly getting production from all players on this offense, and it starts with Lamar Jackson. So he's putting them in positions to succeed, and the coaching staff is as well. And, you know, again, just a variety of plays that they're able to run right now is really something else. You could even, and Mark Schlereth even said it on the TV broadcast towards the end of the game, the Buccaneers were exhausted. There are so many ways that this Ravens offense can move you. And by the end of the game, was it Gus Edwards, Kenneth Dixon, Lamar Jackson's running for nearly 100 yards? So, you know, through all that, I mean, what do you pick? Who are you trying to stop here? You know, you kind of, you have so many guys in the backfield and so many people moving around that it is really tough to kind of hold your ground. And I think Buccaneers defensive lineman Vita V did a good job of that. But one guy kind of holding his own in the middle of this, in the middle of a defense is not enough. It's not enough against this offense. You need your entire front four, sometimes even front seven, to stay disciplined and hold their ground and fill gaps, because otherwise, you know, you only need one gap. And this team, when they're pulling guards, they're using tight ends, you know, they're moving guys around. You have to be that much quicker to fill your gap. And it's really tough now because you're starting to see why, or you are seeing why, the Baltimore Ravens went to Gus Edwards and Kenneth Dixon now towards the end of the season. 19 yards, 19 carries for 104 for Gus Edwards and 11 carries for 48 yards for Kenneth Dixon. Gus Edwards did pick up a touchdown, and Lamar Jackson, 18 carries for 95 yards. So some of those scrambles as well. And certainly extending plays. You know, that was one of the things before, I believe I mentioned it before we got into Lamar Jackson starting, but you know, it's something where Russell Wilson, the perfect example of it, he extends plays. He's not running around to take on guys or, you know, trying to kind of play hero ball, I guess you could say. No, he's just using his legs to extend plays, and you know, he's making sound decisions for the most part when he is extending those plays. So, you know, guys, not necessarily even running quarterbacks, are great examples of that too. You know, you saw Pat Mahomes do it the previous week against Baltimore, where he extended a play and found Tyreek Hill for a bomb towards the end of the game. So those are the types of plays you want to see from him, and he's certainly doing that and providing this offense with something completely different that it did not have before. And it's exhausting defenses and making them think about a lot of different things at the line of scrimmage. And it's, I think it's very tough right now for defenses pre-snap to figure out what they want to try to do and where they need to line up and kind of take their shot at something. So Lamar certainly providing that extra element, and we'll see if he can continue to do that against a very good team next week, the Los Angeles Chargers, on the road in Los Angeles. It'll be a tough test for this Ravens team. It'll be a good game to watch, perhaps two playoff-bound teams in that one. Now, before we go away from the Ravens offense too far, I do want to go back to it again real quick and mention a few players, especially the offensive line. I thought James Hurst and Bradley Bozeman did a great job at left guard today. You could tell a lot of times, and it wasn't just those two, but where guys were moving in motion and they knew exactly where they needed to be, who they needed to chip, you know, what the specific play design was and the importance of it and how they were able to kind of craft a lane for different running backs. So there's a clear vision and a clear purpose you can tell every guy has on each one of these plays, and guys are executing at in the running game, and it starts with the offensive line. And I think that's probably a fair criticism that we talked about early on in the season. They weren't establishing themselves, especially I thought early in games they could have gotten off to some better starts, and they just weren't really doing that. Now, were they given the opportunity to? Again, possibly. It's debatable. But right now the point is they are moving guys. They are establishing their will against other players. And, you know, again, it'll be a good test for them this next week and week 17 against the Browns. The Browns right now are red hot. Yes, the Cleveland Browns, they are playing very well. And that'll be a tough test for them. I mean, the Chargers and Browns have two solid defenses. So I think as we've moved through the season, we're really starting to find out what this offense is capable of. And, you saw it obviously against Kansas City. They were able to take them into overtime and keep up with them. And now they're going to face two teams that are red hot and one team, the Chargers, who are coming off a win. So huge opportunity for them. And I also wanted to, again, bring up the tight ends real quick, because maybe outside of Lamar Jackson, I think Mark Andrews might be the best player that Baltimore was able to get out of this year's draft. Now, the rookie obviously got a little bit of a head start on Hayden Hurst with Hayden Hurst's injury, but both of those guys at tight ends have been very good this year, and especially when they're both on the field. And just want to go through the numbers real quick. Now, this may not sound a lot like a lot, but you had Hayden Hurst, 3 catches for 20 yards and 3 targets. And you also had Mark Andrews, 2 catches, 31 yards on 4 targets, his longest for 17 yards. And those numbers, they don't sound like a lot. Those are not flashy numbers. Those are not numbers that win you fantasy leagues or, you know, whatever else. But when you're called upon and you're able to make these plays, you're able to establish yourself over the middle, that's a huge part of your offense. And, you know, Willie Snead, kind of, you could throw him in there as well. Obviously not a rookie, but he's kind of in that same kind of role. 5 catches for 58 yards and on 6 targets, one of those being a 28-yard pass. They're establishing themselves. They have a clear role, a clear purpose, and they're doing it when they're given the opportunity. And that, to me, is just as good as a, 5-6 catch, 100-yard game, because, you're executing what you're called upon to do. And these guys are not going to get, with this offense, how they're operating, these guys are not going to get 10, 15 targets or something. Unless Baltimore just, for some reason, fell behind extremely far very, very early in a game. But, they're doing what they're being called upon to do, and they're establishing the offense and what they need to do. So a huge credit to them. And I think Mark Andrews, with his size, and we talked about it a lot leading up to this season, but Mark Andrews might end up being the best player, perhaps behind Lamar Jackson from that draft. So it'll be real interesting to see how, not only this season, but moving forward through their careers, how they will be able to continue to operate. And I think it's key with Lamar Jackson, these guys, all rookies, kind of coming into this offense and gelling early in their careers. Sometimes you see, tight ends kind of come in with other players mix and matched around them, but these guys starting off their careers together, I think, could bode extremely well if they're able to stay together for a long period of time. So the last thing for today, real quick, wanted to go over the playoff scenarios. Right now, like I said, Baltimore at the 6th seed in the AFC. By next week, the Ravens could be either eliminated or in first place of the AFC North. So anything could happen right now. If Baltimore beats the Chargers and the Steelers lose to the Saints on the road, both those AFC North teams are on the road at the Chargers, at the Saints, Baltimore could take over first place if they win and Pittsburgh loses. Now, Baltimore can be eliminated if they lose at the Chargers, and all three teams, the Steelers, Titans, and Colts, all win their games. So definitely something to keep an eye on. Right now, the Steelers will play against the Bengals week 17 after that Saints game. Right now, the Saints, obviously, again, a very hot team, both the Chargers and the Saints, very hot teams right now. And the Chargers were a team that maybe not everyone had them on their radar at the beginning of the season, but certainly a lot of talent. Obviously, New Orleans, with all the depth they have, I think New Orleans might have the most depth on offense out of anyone in the league right now. Not only, Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara running back, but, you have a plethora of wide receivers, And then you even have a backup to Drew Brees. If anything were to happen to him and Taysom Hill, who is getting snaps, and they're lining him up all over the field, and he's one of the more athletic players in the NFL. So two tough tests for these teams going into the next week. And right now the total playoff picture has the Chiefs right now at that one seed. But again, they're tied with the Chargers at 11-3 in the AFC. The Texans have not clinched a playoff spot, by the way. They are 10-4. Now, they're the second seed. But things could get a little weird if Houston is not able to cement their playoff berth here next week. There are a lot of different scenarios that could come about. They play the Eagles, who, by the way, just knocked off the Los Angeles Rams. They play the Eagles in Philadelphia next week, and then they play the Jaguars at home to wrap up the season. So if they're not able to win both of those games, certainly Philadelphia will give them a tough time. The Jaguars at home, perhaps an easier test, but if they're not able to win either of those games, there could be some tiebreakers involved, and Baltimore certainly hoping to get to 10-6. A lot of different things could happen, so keep your eye on those teams this week, and we will be back with a crossover episode this week. We'll look into some different things on the offense, and hopefully maybe we can get Matthew to maybe join us another time at some point this season. But for now, thank you guys for listening.